Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. In the Boston area, more families than ever are choosing to educate their children outside of district school systems. This includes not only traditional homeschooling, but also homeschooling partnerships with other families, as well as programs for kids to supplement their home study with courses or extracurricular programs at local public schools, community colleges, even museums.
Across the U.S., more than 2 million students are homeschooled, including close to 30,000 students here in Massachusetts. And according to a recent article in Boston Magazine, in recent years, those numbers are up dramatically in Boston, Cambridge, Arlington, and Somerville, among many other communities.
Many families are doing it because they think they can educate their kids better than local school systems, which many see as broken. So we're going to talk about this new era of homeschooling. And to help us do that, we're joined by a homeschooling veteran, Eileen Ryan. She's a mother of three and took charge of her three kids' education beginning about 20 years ago. And welcome to Radio Boston, Eileen. Good to have you.
Thank you very much.
Also with us in the studio is Katie Gradowski. She's one of the founders and staff members at Parts and Crafts in Somerville. They run an alternative homeschooling program. And Katie Gradowski, welcome to you. It's great to have you.
It's very nice to be here.
So, Eileen Ryan, I'd love to just start with you. We mentioned that you've been doing this for 20 years. Tell us a little bit about your homeschooling decision and what it meant in your family.
Well, I have three children, the oldest of whom is 24, almost 25, and I have a 21-year-old and a 17-year-old. I decided to homeschool when my son was in kindergarten. He actually went for 4 days, and then he climbed a tree as tall as he could go and said he was never going back there again. He's very high energy, extremely creative.
Now, a lot of kids would do that, but did you get the feeling that he really meant it, that he really wasn't?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He was unhappy, and I was unhappy, and I had actually spent the previous summer reading a lot of books by John Holt, who's a famous educator who actually lived in this area, and he wrote a book called Teach Your Own. He's also written a lot of other books, including How Children Learn. And I also already knew people in the community who had been homeschooling their children. I had a job that I co-shared with another woman who had been homeschooling her son. So that had been in the back of my mind for a while.
Mm. So tell me how you put the program together for your kids. I mean, how did it work?
Well, I feel like I've been very fortunate to have raised my kids in this area where there are a lot of other families who have homeschooled, but not just that, but the resources around here are incredible. The museums, the libraries are amazing. The institutions of higher education. But so my kids have done a lot of things. They've done a lot of classes with other homeschoolers through the years. They've done Spanish classes, book groups, writing groups.
Mm. Is this one of the way that homeschooling, it seems like if I took one of the points that I took away from the Boston Magazine article, which, by the way, listeners, we've published a link to on our website, but this idea that it's sort of evolving and there are real sort of communities of homeschoolers now that are really collaborating in a way.
Yeah, there have been a lot of homeschooling families around here forever, and not forever, but probably for the past 25, 30 years. Initially, you know, we had a paper newsletter that came out once a month. If there was anything going on, you submitted that information to the newsletter, and we had potluck dinners, we had talent shows, I ran a craft fair for 10 years for homeschooling families. I've also, for about 17 years, organized a big May Day celebration for all the different families in the area. There was a woman who for 10 years had a great theater company that was just for homeschooled kids. And more recently, actually, Claire Dixon's younger sister has had a Shakespeare company that she started for homeschooled children. And what else have we done? I don't know. So many things.
So a lot of things. And,
yeah.
And before I move on to Katie, I want to ask you, Eileen, how are your kids doing? Give us a sense of where they've ended up after going through this experience.
Well, I think one of the primary reasons for me to homeschool my children was to keep that curiosity alive for their entire lives, and also to raise children who are not only curious but are self-disciplined and motivated. So my son graduated from the Rhode Island School of Design last year with a degree in architecture, and he's currently working at an architectural firm in Manhattan. He's done a lot of other things. For 4 years, he was a circus performer at Faneuil Hall. He made a lot of money there, helped pay for his college education. My daughter, Isabel, is currently a junior at Barnard College in Manhattan, but this year she's spending the year studying at Oxford University. She's studying biology. And I just like to say about her that she had done very little formal biology until she was about 15. She had taken, you know, we spent a lot of time outdoors. And then when she was around 14 or 15, we had a homeschool Girl Scout trip, and we went on a couple night overnight to Nantucket. And while we were there, an oceanographer met up with us and we did a beach cleanup. And afterwards, she said, "I think that's what I want to do." And from that, she got a job working at the aquarium. She volunteered for 2 years in the education department, starting when she was 16. She became a certified scuba diver, also through a program at the aquarium. She ended up working at the Sea Grant program at MIT one summer. She took AP biology through the high school studies program at MIT. And she ended up taking anatomy and ocean environmental classes at Harvard Extension.
And your youngest?
My youngest is 17. She's still at home. She's obsessed right now with folk dancing. She's made a lot of connections through the dance community.
All right, listeners, we want to hear from you on this. Parents, do you homeschool your kids? If not, are you thinking about it? And what about the home schoolers out there? Kids, do you learn at home? How do you think that the homeschooling community in Boston is changing? In and around Boston, you can give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Katie, let me bring you in, and I want to get you, first of all, to describe a little bit what Parts and Crafts, the organization that you helped found, what it does and its relationship to homeschooling. Give us a sense of this.
Yeah, so Parts and Crafts started about 5 years ago. It emerged out of a summer camp called Camp Kaleidoscope. And a lot of the early kind of impulse for what we do stemmed from a desire to cross a lot of the really exciting resources that we were seeing in the hackerspace community with a mode of alternative education where kids could really kind of set their own program and kind of build their own educational program. So we started off doing that in summer camp because summer camp is a very effective kind of space to break a lot of conventional childcare expectations. Mm-hmm. And then about 2 years into the summer camp, we had a group of families who knew us through that program, who really wanted to homeschool their kids, who approached us and said, basically, if you want to start a homeschooling resource center, you know, we would send our kids. Right. And so that's how it started. And it's been really interesting to kind of see it grow and evolve. Right now we have about 35 kids. It's called the Center for Semiconducted Learning. And it's a very kind of multivalent space. Some kids use it primarily as a school alternative and kind of do a lot of academic work. Some kids use it as a homeschooling resource center. Some kids use it for enrichment, and some kids use it as a social space.
We mentioned that the numbers are higher than ever. It's still not a huge number, but what, 30,000 kids or so in the state of Massachusetts, millions across the nation. The numbers are rising. Why is that? I'll start with you, Katie. I mean, what's the sort of common inspiration for families like Eileen's to take on this challenge and go this route?
Well, I think, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, people homeschool for many, many different reasons. And people have been homeschooling for the past, you know, 30 to 40 years for many, many different reasons. A lot of the kids that we work with are not necessarily families that would have chosen homeschooling, but are families who find themselves homeschooling because for whatever reason, school is an untenable situation for them. And that's kind of a role that we try to play. One of the big constraints around homeschooling is that it's very hard. It's kind of like a total lifestyle shift.
Yeah, sounds like it.
And so particularly for parents who work, particularly for parents who are just kind of starting out, it can be very scary particularly if you're coming to it from a point of crisis, it can be very scary to try to figure out how to do that.
You know, Deb and I were talking about some of this stuff before the show started. And Deb, I wanted to get you in on this conversation too.
Well, one thing that strikes me when I listen, and I think this question is probably for Eileen, but I wonder, you know, how many families can do this, can stay home, make sure that somebody's home to be able to do this, can access the resources, of which we have tremendous resources in this area, to be able to give kids an effective quality education. education. But I'm wondering, does it almost run the risk of creating a two-tiered system here? And I, you know, what about community? And I'm sure you've heard this before, and concerns about only having kids who have, whose parents have the right resources and the right temperament, really, because I don't think I could do it, to teach their kids at home. What is it doing to the whole system and the whole idea of public education?
Well, first of all, I love to dispel the myth that you can't homeschool, because I think almost anybody can homeschool. And I've actually met families of all different backgrounds who have successfully homeschooled their children, single parents who have homeschooled, two working parents who have homeschooled, families with one child, families with seven children, families of all different racial backgrounds, religious beliefs, no religious beliefs at all. And I really don't think it's not something that only the elite can do. It's not something that costs a lot of money. You can actually, around here, you can do so many things for free. You can get your kid a T-pass when he or she's around 12 or 13 years old, and the world is their oyster. I mean, you can...
But Eileen, is it fair to say that the families that are going to be able to take this on are going to be families where one of the parents doesn't have to work full time?
Well, I think you have to think creatively. That's the thing that I really like to encourage people to do, is to think outside the box. Think about, do you have, like, I know one single family, one single parent family where they actually have a friend who helps to mentor their daughter, her daughter, during the day. There are a lot of people who would love to be mentors to young children or, you know, teenagers. The other thing, I know other families where they've done cooperatives where they've taken turns. One day a week, or you know, a couple days a week, you'll have my kids and I'll have yours another day. Families where people work from home and their kids are there. Also, in some ways, homeschooling is easier than having your kids in school.
Interesting. Listeners, we're talking about homeschooling, the increasing numbers. What do you see out there? Are you a homeschooler? What are your concerns about it? What are your questions? Give us a call, 1-800-423-8255. Let's go to Karen, who's calling from Brookline. Hi, Karen. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much. My concern with homeschooling, and I've seen it, is that when children are homeschooled and are not put out in the community, as the speakers have done, but they're in the house, they're isolated, they're not necessarily mixing with other kids, and they may end up having less of an education, and they're not in a situation where even their counselors at school or somebody would even know to intervene because they've been completely isolated. And I have seen this happen.
Karen, thanks for that. Katie Gradowski, why don't you respond to Karen's concern? Is that a concern? I mean, it sounds like Karen might be describing a situation where perhaps this isn't suitable for all families, or perhaps all parents aren't cut out to be homeschoolers.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that you're seeing, you know, I don't think there's necessarily been a rise in homeschooling, but there's certainly a rise in the visibility of homeschooling. And one of the things that that I think is also happening that with that is kind of a conversation about the kinds of regulations that might need to be in place to prevent cases like that. I mean, my understanding is that those kinds of cases are kind of vanishingly small, but they are out there and it is a risk.
Sure. So. Let's go to Kate, who's calling from Gardner. Hi, Kate, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm a public school teacher, and I know that's a group that's often portrayed as at odds with homeschooling, but the way public education is going, I completely understand why more parents are homeschooling. Class sizes are too big, sped caseloads are too high, standardized tests have taken over, we're unable to have creativity and autonomy, and it's really unfortunate, but I think when kids can be socialized, especially like your guest is talking about, homeschooling can really fill a need in education that unfortunately public schools aren't. And I'm hoping that changes. But in the meantime, I'm glad that kids have the opportunities they do.
Kate, well, thanks for putting those ideas on the table. Eileen, do those ideas resonate with you and around your sets of decisions with your kids?
Oh, yeah, very much so. I feel like the constant testing of kids in schools is really harsh. But also, my mother-in-law was a public school teacher in Vermont for many years, and she actually taught in two-room and even a one-room schoolhouse. But even in that situation, and she's an incredibly creative, amazing woman, she did not have the autonomy that you would wish that somebody like my mother-in-law could have had. So there's so many limitations upon you when you're a public school teacher. Mm.
Let's go to Gracie, who's calling from Mount Vernon, New Hampshire. And Gracie, I understand you're a teenager and you've been homeschooled, right?
Yes, I'm homeschooled right now, and I'd like to talk a little bit about the opportunities that I have as a homeschooler. And I live on a farm, and I'm interested in becoming a vet, like an animal farm animal vet when I grow older. And homeschooling gives me a great opportunity to do that because I can explore different fields that I'm interested in. And it, I also am able to, I can learn a lot about things that I'm interested in and also learn in my own way. And I had also heard about someone who said that homeschoolers can't have a good social experience, but we have a great opportunity to go with other homeschoolers and do different classes like science classes and writing classes, and in those things, I do get socialized, and I do learn a lot about how to work with other people.
Well, Gracie, thanks. You sound like a great witness for the virtues of homeschooling. Thanks so much for the call, and we wish you all the luck in the world. Thanks for the call. I love hearing that example from Gracie, but here's a question that I have, and we actually did a segment a while back with a gentleman who actually wrote a book about homeschooling his kids, and I asked him this, and I'll start with you, Katie, with this question, but Gracie there mentioned wanting to be a veterinarian, and it sounds like she's on her way, but what about the sort of strict academic disciplines? I mean, if someone wants to go and become a doctor, I mean, it requires a certain amount of testing and certification and very traditional approaches to education and essentially getting certified. Are homeschoolers at a disadvantage in any way?
I mean, I would say that, I mean, we spend a lot of time in our program focusing on the basic literacies. We also spend a lot of time kind of encouraging kids to explore things that they're really interested in. And I think one of the things that's really true is that if you're passionate about something and you really want to know something and you really have a goal that you want to pursue, you can cover a lot of ground. You can make up a lot of ground. And one of the real values that homeschooling provides that kids don't necessarily get when they have to follow a mandated curriculum is it's really easy to kill someone's interest in doing something. We see this a lot, for instance, in math. We have a lot. We work very extensively with kids on through a variety of math curricula, and you see kids come in where they've just through experiencing it in a really kind of negative way, carry a lot of social expectations into the experience of learning algebra that make it very difficult to engage with the material on its own terms. So that's one of the things that we really try to do is to kind of create a space where you can shake off some of that, some of those kind of fears and anxieties.
Got it. Eileen, same question to you.
I totally agree with Katie. Yeah. I think when you're passionate about things, you really learn them in a much better way and it's more a part of you. And so also talking about the math is that my son, when he was growing up, he was very artistic. He did a lot of pottery, jewelry making, playing with Legos and blocks, carpentry. And then he did quite a bit of glass blowing in his later teen years. But he had done some math, but not really that much in depth. And when he got to RISD, he was taking engineering classes, so he had to learn trigonometry, but he knew that he could learn it, so he went online, he asked his peers to help him, and he did really, really well.
Let's take another call. Dylan is calling from Middleton. Hi, Dylan, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I did both public school and homeschooling. I was fortunate to go to a very good public school in the state. But my parents took me out for 7th and 8th grade and homeschooled me. And we traveled the country and traveled the world in several countries, and they just wanted to expose me to that. And I think that was amazing. But I also wanted to say that I do think homeschooling has its benefits, but I also think public school has its extreme benefits. I think it teaches you a lot about social life, and I don't think school is just about the academics. It's about how learning to work with others and et cetera. And I just graduated from college this May, and I think that going to public school and having that environment really helps you, live the college life and I was extremely successful in college and et cetera.
But well, Dylan, I'm really glad that things worked out for you. And I'm going to put the point that you raise. I want to ask Eileen about that. So there's Dylan talking about the importance of the socializing aspect of public education. That I mean, the suggestion there is that kids who are being homeschooled might not get as much as that.
Right. Well, actually, I think my children have had more exposure to being in all with people of all different ages. They've had friends of all different ages, but they also have had large peer groups of friends as well, because they've been involved in volunteer organizations. We're a member of a Unitarian Universalist church. And they've also had a lot of homeschooling friends. And now the daughter who's into folk dancing, she has so many friends, can't even keep track of them all. and also along those lines is my son was invited to five high school. He was invited to six proms. He ended up going to five because I told him he couldn't go to the first one he was invited to when he was only 14. But
Well, Eileen Ryan, she's the mother of three. She home and a homeschool parent for the past 20 years. We've been talking about homeschooling. Eileen Ryan, thanks so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. And before I say goodbye, I'd just like to tell people if they're interested in homeschooling, there's a great organization called Advocates for Homeschooling in Massachusetts, which has a list of a lot of resources and can link you to any kind of support group.
And we'll provide a link to that at radioboston.org. And Katie Gradowski, she's one of the founders and staff members at Parts and Crafts in Somerville. Katie, thank you. I appreciate
it. Thanks
very much. Listeners, stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks with Deb Becker. This is Radio Boston.